have a couple scriptures want to share this morning. And I'm going to start in Romans 8. But towards the middle of my sermon, I'm going back to Romans 8. So if you want to put your finger there, your bulletin there, or if you don't want to, that's okay too. But in Romans chapter 8, and I use the King James Version, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and I think it's a quoted scripture by many people, and we know, it says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And in Genesis chapter 50, in verse 20, Joseph's talking and he says, "But as for you," he said, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that's been said and done. And Holy Spirit, I depend totally upon you, for I know I can do all things through you who strengthens me. For you said you're my comfort, you would lead me into every area of truth. And you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm dependent on you to give me the words that you want us to have, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I thought about these scriptures. The Lord led me into Genesis chapter 37. And as I thought about what Joseph said, he told his family, "You meant it to my bad, but God worked it to my good." And when I got saved, I was thinking of Mark 1 in verse 15, for the Bible says, "The kingdom of God is at hand." In other words, your opportunity is here. Your opportunity is today. And he said, and Jesus said, to repent or have a change of mind. Each one of us has dealt the measure of faith, and you can say, "I don't believe it." And you can stand with that. But Jesus is begging us to repent or have a change of mind, right? And he said, and believe the gospel. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And on the third day he arose. And he ascended to the Father and he sitteth on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I thought, man, I was on like cloud nine. I don't know how else to explain. It was like years ago I saw this commercial of this guy that used Dial, and he was like above everybody else because the other people smelled. You know that feeling, like I felt I was on top of everything. And then the first time, maybe a week or two later, I had my first trial. And when that trial hit, I thought, oh man, God hasn't forgotten my sins. I got as low as could be. I didn't realize that the trying of my faith was working patience. Patience was working experience. Experience was working hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, but the love of God was being shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, according to Romans chapter 5, right? And then according to Ephesians 6, I didn't realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against one another, even though the trials might come from our loved ones, might even come from family members. But we really, it isn't against them. It's against them that are using them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dark powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And Jesus said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that come your way. For the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he doesn't like Christians. He's out to destroy us. And I began in Genesis chapter 37 looking at some of these trials that some of us face. In Genesis chapter 37, Joseph is 17 years old, it says. And Joseph is going to have trials that we're going to read about for almost 17 years in a row. I mean, it doesn't let up. And some of the things that perhaps some of you are facing, it just doesn't let up. It seems like it's endless. Why am I going through this? Why am I facing this? When I read about all the good in the Bible, and I thought everything would be on easy street and simple. Joseph's problems came through his family at first, his loved ones. I believe he walked with God. I believe he was like Enoch, he walked with God. I believe he was like Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I believe he was like Abraham. He looked for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker was God. He made it into the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, if I die down in Egypt, take my bones and bury them out. Don't bury them down in Egypt. Trials. I believe he walked with God. He would tell his dad some of the evil report that was going on around him and how he hated it. God gave him dreams, and he'd tell his dreams to his brothers and his sister and his mother and dad. And when he'd tell these dreams, his brothers hated him, it said. In one of the dreams he told them, they became envious of him. I'm going to talk about envy in a few minutes. It's worse than jealousy. It's at the point when you want to do people harm. But he'd tell them these dreams. You know, some of the way we think. There were six of us boys growing up. And you know the way that I saw things? The oldest, when he was born, he got the attention. You know, he's special. He's our firstborn, right? And then come the second, third, fourth, and fifth. And they're kind of in between. They're forgotten. And then there's the baby, right? And the baby gets spoiled, right? They spoil him. And if you're in between, like I was, you get this, I think Pastor preached a few weeks ago, stinking thinking. And I thought that I was a forgotten one because I was in the middle. And I thought one day my parents were going to move while I was in school and not leave an address where they moved to, you know. Have you ever thought things like that, that you were hated? People were jealous of you? Or maybe you're that way. Maybe you still got that hate in your heart towards someone, something. Maybe you're a little bit jealous. That jealousy can turn to envy. And that envy can really be harmful. You don't think it's true? You read in Matthew and Mark, Bible says that Pilate knew that the religious leaders sent Jesus to him to be crucified because of envy. Doesn't it say that? says two different places. Talk about envy. Look in 1 Samuel 19. In 1 Samuel 19, there's a young man by the name of David. And Saul says to David, you're not going home anymore. You're going to stay with me. Because he beat Goliath. And he put him in charge of everybody. Everybody loved David, it says. All of Israel and all the servants of Saul. And one day, David went out to battle with Saul. And when they came back, the women started playing the tambourine and singing and dancing and said, Saul has killed his thousand. David has killed his 10,000. Something changed inside him. Talk about jealousy. He eyed him, the Bible says. You know that eye? My wife had that eye. Not an evil eye, but in some of the churches we pastored, she'd be up front with me, and our kids were in the back sitting there, and if they misbehaved, all she had to do was just... And I mean, they... Bible says he eyed them that day. Then it says in two different places in 1 Samuel 18 that he was afraid of David. So instead of being in charge, he made him a captain, and he thought, I'll send him into battle, and he'll be killed there. But it didn't work. You go to 1 Samuel 19. You know what Saul does? He gives a command. He's so envious, so jealous. He gives him a command to his son and to his servants. He says, you kill David. That's what he says. 1 Samuel 19, you kill him. Can I tell you, if people are envious of you or you've got envy, you don't need a weapon to kill somebody. I can ruin your reputation by things I say. And if you don't think it's true, listen to some of the things going on. Reputation. You don't need a weapon to kill somebody. And maybe you got jealousy. Or maybe people have jealousy and hate towards you. You know, his dad says to him, and back to Genesis 37, says, I want you to go check on your brothers. They're down in Shechem. But come to find out they were down in Dothan. They see Joseph coming, and they hate him so bad, they said, let's kill him. Don't they? The envy. And Reuben stands for him. He says, don't do that. They throw him in a pit. Have you ever been in a pit? What's the pit like? Lonely? Some of us sitting here or even listening by radio. Lonely? You can be around people and still be lonely. You let those feelings dictate to you. I'm never alone. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might not like me. That's okay. God likes me. That's all that matters. Right, Pastor? In the pit. You know, John the Baptist got discouraged. Talk about lonely. John the Baptist stood one day. He says, I'm not even worthy to unloosen his shoes, Jesus, right? And then when he saw Jesus, didn't he point and say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Didn't he say that? And then in Matthew chapter 11, talk about discouraged, he's in prison. And he sends word to Jesus. He says, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're expecting? And Jesus said, you tell him, the dead are being raised, the blind are receiving their sight, the deaf hear. He says, and the poor are receiving the gospel, those that are poor in spirit. Right? That realize they need Jesus. That encouraged John. Cast him prison. You know what he was in prison for? Because he told Herod. He says, the woman you're with belongs to your brother. She's married to him. Lost his head over it. lonely. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're listening and you've got that lonely feeling. Thrown into a pit. You know what else I noticed? And maybe people have slain your reputation. You know something else I noticed about him? They stripped him of his coat, didn't they? Can I tell you the devil's desire is to strip you of your joy and your peace? You can't take it. I've got a peace. I might have trouble all around me, and I might be facing all kinds of trouble, but I've got a peace in the midst of the storm, knowing that if I die, I'm absent from the body and I'm present with the Lord. I know where I'm going. I'm not hellbound, I'm heavenbound. A peace. And I might be loaded with all kinds of problems and facing all kinds of things and have some type of disease or different things, but I know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know as far as the east is from the west, He remembers my sins no more. I'm forgiven. Lamb's Book of Life. Maybe you feel like the devil's out to slay you. I've got a joy, even in the midst. A joy deep down. I've got a joy knowing Jesus loves me. I think of when Peter has led us in that song, Jesus Loves Me, and how he sings it. I know that Jesus loves me. I know. Anyways, trials. That's all I want to say about that. Now we're going to go to the good stuff. Romans 28. And I've never done this all the times in my ministry. I've been in the pastorate for over 40 years. I've never done this. But in Romans chapter 8, Paul asks some questions. And I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. And you can either say it's a test asking you these questions, you can write answers, or you can go home and answer them yourself, or sit there and answer them. But in Romans chapter 8, in verse 31, he starts there. He says, what shall then we say to these things? What things? The trials. What shall we say to them? Are we going to become a victim? Do we got victim mentality? Poor old me. Nobody cares. God cares. One of the churches I pastored had a lady that came to visit our church for the first time. And on the way out, she caught me. And she said to me, Brother Sweeney, she said, I got thrown out of the house of God for having a seizure. And boy, she got my blood boiling. She said, the minister threw me out, told me not to come back. Got my blood boiling, and I thought, Monday morning, I'm going to go see that preacher. I'm going to have a talk with him. I don't think that's right. I said, you're welcome to come here, and if you have a seizure, we'll deal with it. And I asked her, what was the name of the church and the pastor's name? And I said, tell me when it happened. Was it last Sunday, the Sunday before? You know what she told me, Pastor? It happened 25 years ago. Victim mentality. You with me? Poor old me. How about you a can of worms? Might as well go eat worms, right? You want to feel sorry for yourself? You can. God cares about you. He said, what shall we say then? Now get grasp hold of this. Second question. If God, in verse 31, if God be for you, who can be against you? God's on your side. He's the Almighty. He's the one that gives your eyes the ability to see, your ears to hear, your fingers to work, your hands to work, your legs to work, your feet to work. He's the one that breathes oxygen into you every day. He holds your breath in his hand. He's the one that makes the sun shine. He's the one that makes the moon shine. He's the one that keeps them stars in the sky. He's the one that wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If he be for you, who can be against you? Victim mentality? God's on my side. You know what? He's on your side too. If God be for you, who can be against you? You answer the question yourself. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He freely gives us all things. Who put food on your table? The farmer? Who provided that? Who gave you the oxygen this morning? Who gave you the nice clothes? Who made you so good looking? It's nice to preach to good looking people. Who do you think gave our song leaders that beautiful voice? Who do you think wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Who do you think forgave all your sins? Who said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house? There are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Who's the one that we're going to partake of his supper next week? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He freely gave on to us. How much did he charge you? How much is he going to charge you to live in heaven? I get an electric bill, I get a gas bill, I get a garbage bill, I get a water bill. How much is he going to charge you to live in the New Jerusalem? He's good. He says, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Ooh, I like that. You can justify yourself. In Luke 19, there's two men that go up to the temple to pray, and one's a religious leader, and he says, he's talking to God. He says, oh, God, I thank you. I'm not like everybody else. He says, I'm not an extortioner. He says, I do everything right. He mentions about, he says, I don't do unjust things. He says, I'm not an adulterer. And he says, I'm definitely not like that man over there. Isn't that what he says? And there's a guy that's over there. Just, and he's beating on his chest, and he said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Jesus said, who do you think went home justified? The man justifying himself? You can justify all yourself and all what you say and what you do. Doesn't make it right. What matters is who justifies you. God justifies us. When I stand before God, he's not going to ask me about all the sins that I committed. He's going to ask me what I did with his son. Did I accept Jesus? Right? And you know, he asked two more questions. Who is he that condemneth? He said, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, grasp hold of that. The devil causes all this problem. He stands before God and he says, you know, you see Sweeney down there? Did you hear what he said? Did you see what he did? You know what Jesus does? He whispers in his ear. He says, it's under the blood. Doesn't he? Isn't the devil the accuser of the brethren? Doesn't he accuse you before God night and day, it says? And there comes a time he's going to be thrown out of there forever, right? If you don't get anything else, great. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, grasp this. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? He said, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus loves you so much. You are important to God. Let me end with one thought. Most of us were taught that story of David and Goliath. After David killed Goliath, what did he do? What did he do? Chopped his head off. Can I encourage you this morning? Them feelings that are lying to you, them feelings that tell you God doesn't love you, those feelings that tell you you're no good, that God doesn't care about you, you take that knife or that sword and you chop off the head. It is finished, Jesus said. Do you believe it? Isn't that what he did? He chopped off the head. You chop off the head of that. You with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning, Lord. I prayed what I felt you wanted me to, Lord. I'm thankful so much, Lord, for you, Lord, and for salvation. And if there's anybody that has not accepted you, Lord, or they've rejected you for years, Lord, let this be their opportunity, Lord. I pray that they turn to you, because there's coming a day we're going to stand before you, Almighty. And I want to stand there in the blood of Jesus. I pray for each and every one, Father, that's here or in the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.